You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the U.S. Women's National Team shocking loss to Sweden. We break it down. We try to figure it out. Alexis isn't worried. We talk about some Gold Cup. We talk about Inter Miami and Pogba and Kimpembe hanging out to watching an absolute disaster. So a lot to go over today.
That's right. Plus, we also talk to Amin El-Hassan. You probably know him from the Dan Le Batard Show, Cinephobes podcast. Also, you might know him from the last time he was on our show. We talk about a lot. We talk about PSG, his favorite team. Who are they going to buy? Why they buy everybody? That's what they seem to always do. And also, we talk about basketball and he shits on the Knicks. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, let's go.
Come
on.
We are
back in another exciting episode, another new hairstyle for Christian Polanco.
Bro, you're going through something. This is, every week you turn this thing on, I'm like, who is it? Which one of his cousins just turned on his computer? What is going on here?
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Yeah, this, if people are just listening to this, yeah, I got box braids, okay? I'm looking like a bone thug. I'm looking like,
right?
You know, sometimes people have been kind enough on the internet to tell me that when my hair is up or back, they say I look like Naomi Osaka. But when I have my hair like this, I look like her boyfriend. Okay,
no, so. You kind of right now. Actually, you kind of look like Young M.A.
I'll take it.
She had
it.
The same hairdo like 2 weeks ago.
But yes, an exciting episode today. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Christian Polanco.
We're all Christian Polanco.
You know what? Get this haircut next. I'm Alexis Guerrero's baby.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show there is right here on Football Sports Network.
That's right. Also happens to be the gulliest. Also happens to be the guess what Christian's hairdo is going to be this week.
It also happens to be the most Amin El-Hassanist episode because Amin El-Hassan.
The streets wanted him back.
That's,
you know?
Right. Of Meadowlark Media coming through to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals, to talk about PSG and what they're doing this summer. So a lot to cover today. But
and guess what? He shits on the Knicks yet again. Every time he's here.
Why do we keep inviting him when he does that? Just come here, you're going to disrespect my home?
I think we like the pain. It's like why I eat hot sauce.
We pay extra for that.
All right? It's what we're into. A lot of shame, not just Christian's haircut.
So let's start today with some U.S. Women's National Team news. The Olympics have began. The Olympics started.
Is it began or begun?
Both work.
Okay, I'll take your
word. Have begun, not begun. The Olympics begun. That doesn't really make sense. Anyway.
You said have. Anyway, go for it.
Anyway,
just like that conversation, the women's national team start hasn't been good.
I think my braids are too tight. The Olympics started. The games have started before the opening ceremony, which is an interesting twist, right?
Yeah.
You know, some traditionalists are like, wait, this is, I didn't see the torch first. Why are we watching the sports? Anyway, the U.S. Women's National Team started their game. Their first game was against Sweden. And it was at 4:30 in the morning Eastern time. So I was like, you know what? I ain't gonna watch. It's a little too, in the middle. You can't stay up too late. You can't wake up early.
Yeah, it's too late to stay up and watch something that's two hours long. It's way too early to wake up and pay attention to something that's 2 hours long. If you lived on the West Coast, it's 1:30. That's fine.
Reasonable, right?
Right.
But East Coast, we were like, you know what? I'll watch the replay in the morning. I'll wake up.
I'll turn on Twitter and see how much we won by. And then I woke up and I was like, why is the phone so hot?
I think Twitter's broken. Everybody's yeah. posting the incorrect result.
Yeah, they seem to be putting the score on the wrong side.
Well, Sweden wins 3-0, which was an absolute shock, ending the 44-game unbeaten streak for the U.S. women's national team.
The last loss before that came in 2019, January of 2019, against France.
Yeah, rude awakening. Rough.
Are you worried?
I'm a little worried. Look, I think the remaining two matches, as of when we're recording this, the match against New Zealand has already happened. I'm assuming U.S. women won that game because they can't have anything besides a win. It will be absolutely devastating for their chances to move forward. But they should win and have won against New Zealand. Now, the concern here is finishing second in the group. If Sweden finishes first, U.S. second, the knockout rounds are going to be quite challenging. It's either going to be against the Netherlands or maybe Brazil.
Who cares? We're the U.S. women's national team. They're all worried about us. Brazil's like, oh no! If they finish second, we might have to face them. Look, we haven't lost in how many matches? We haven't lost since January of 2019. It don't matter. We got punched in the mouth, and everyone realized, like, oh, okay, this just ain't a continuation of the World Cup. They actually came out to play. And this is our A squad out here.
And this is my concern, and we talked about this when the Olympic roster was announced. The roster, I think the Olympics are like just a bit of a different tournament. They don't feel
it's exactly... U23s.
Not necessarily that.
But it feels like it's a younger core that comes out.
Right,
it's a bit of a different energy.
For the men's side, it's always a U23.
It's U23s. But even on the women's side, other nations are giving chances to younger players.
Right. Yeah. My concern here a little bit is the roster choices. Tobin Heath getting called in when she hadn't really played. She was dealing with an injury. Julie Ertz dealing with an injury. Not that they're not good players, but they didn't have the reps up until that tournament, which, this is why they're going to be a little bit rusty or shaky. And I think we saw that in the game against Sweden.
You worried too much. Them braids are too tight, my guy. Look, we're the squad everybody's afraid of. Look, we got caught lacking. Not a problem, right? We're out. We're good. Okay. All of a sudden, we got one loss. Rather that happen now than after the group stages, right? Uh-huh. I'd rather take that loss and that L right up front. So now Vlatko, his first loss as manager, by the way, of the women's national team, right. He could sit there and say, now I could dust off this speech I had ready in case of a loss. He could blow the dust off that thing, and he could read it, and now the team is going to be inspired, and I have a feeling from here on in, they're going to be way more dangerous than we've ever even seen them before, or in the same style we saw them in the World Cup. So yeah, ladies, go do your thing. Also, you should have brought Ashlyn Harris.
I feel bad for the teams that they're going to be up against because not many teams have faced the U.S. women after a loss, so it's going to be a little bit of a different energy. Okay, we're going to be checking people from time to time, going a little harder in certain challenges.
They're going to bring the boots they wore during the Thailand match. Watch, I promise you, this is going to be a wrecking ball from here on in. Christian, I don't know if you've been watching the Gold Cup. I probably assume you have because we do a show about soccer. So
I love these intros. You're just like, Alexis, you're like, Christian, do you focus on the sport that we cover every single day of our lives?
Hey, yo, Christian, when you're not getting your hair braided, have you heard of this sport called soccer? You seem to have a lot of the shirts. You should watch.
I've been catching this, our region's national tournament. Yes, I have been checking it out.
You know what? And I got to be honest, a lot like Ted Lasso, I like it, and I hope they come back for another season. This Gold Cup is a lot of fun. Seems to be a great way to warm up for the World Cup. The U.S. national team is doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. And this is, we've said this before, but this is our C squad, right?
Roughly, essentially. Yeah, it's a...
All right, we would say what? Your top starters aren't there, right? You don't have your McKennies. You don't have your Pulisics.
Yeah.
You don't have your Tyler Adams. I think your B squad would be your reserves, right? Your bench for the A squad. And then this, no disrespect, because they're obviously very good. You would say this is mostly a C squad.
Yes. And look, we'll see what players from here eventually shine bright enough to make it into possibly a World Cup qualifier. But they've looked pretty good in the Gold Cup. The game against Canada, early goal. But it didn't, at least they held on to the lead. You know, they could have looked better, could have gotten a couple more goals, but they held on. But this game against
Canada, low-key, might be the third toughest team in this competition.
Exactly, right. And that's kind of the issue, too, with the you know, it's Canada, it's Martinique, we're not really talking about them as a top-tier powerhouse in when right. it comes to FIFA rankings and stuff
no
like that.
No disrespect to Martinique. We'd love to travel there.
But the game against Jamaica is coming up in a little bit. And the
if you're watching this, it's right after this.
Exactly. Yeah. So tune in. You're right. You're watching right on Fubo TV. You have it. It's available to you. So the fact that just playing against Jamaica, this a game that I would say this is arguably their toughest game. I know Canada's Canada. I think
Jamaica just lost to Costa Rica, who are down to 10 men.
Andre.
Yeah, we are.
The last time they played against Jamaica, they were they beat them handily. It was fine, but it's still Jamaica haven't looked terrible in this Gold Cup. And Andre Blake is between the sticks, always a tough goalkeeper to get by.
Yeah,
so,
no, Andre Blake
is gonna be a tough one.
Andre Blake is very impressive. And I know they didn't start. I'm looking at the lineup now. They didn't start their best squad against Costa Rica. It looks
they
like
didn't
Barnes
have to, right? I don't think they needed to. It was I think the result first I think there was like a rain delay and then the result wasn't.
Yeah, it was postponed for an hour or two, if I'm not
mistaken.
Right.
So but I think the result wasn't super important for them moving on for both of the teams. So I don't think they really were investing in trying to finish in first.
I mean, they beat Guadeloupe 2-1. They beat Suriname 2-0. I mean, I'm not that impressed. I don't think they've had the toughest competition. I think we've already faced probably the most difficult competition we're going to face. We're currently sitting in first in Group B. Jamaica sitting second in Group C. So they've already advanced. I'm not that worried, to be completely honest with you. I know Jamaica's not. I'm not saying they're an easy team to beat by any stretch of the imagination. But bro, Mexico's the only one I'm really worried about.
In the last Gold Cup, they
imagine Qatar wins the whole thing. That'd be hard to explain.
Qatar, I think, is a real threat to win the whole thing. They're really, really good.
Yeah, they've scored 9 goals, bro.
It's no joke. It's no joke. So another thing, U.S. men's national team.
We gotta stop inviting good teams, by the way. Now that you brought this up, what's with this inviting Qatar, dog? We need to invite like Fiji. You know what I mean? San Marino, would you like to be a part of this competition?
the U.S. men's national team news, some transfers. We have to talk about Tanner Tessman, who is officially signed with Venezia. Friend of the show. We had him on here about a year ago.
Is it because of us? Who knows? We've had on the show a couple times. Gianluca Busio also being rumored to go to Venezia.
Mm-hmm.
So Amin Alhassan, look out.
You're next, buddy.
Actually, you know, the photographer for Venezia, I believe, is still Ethan White. Also has been on our show. I mean, we haven't been transferred to Venezia?
A lot of ties, a lot of connections to Venice. So we should, we should start that out real soon.
Yeah.
But
Christian,
news.
Do you like gondolas? I happen to love gondolas.
Venezia just got promoted to Serie A. This will be a different type of test for the American player to see if they can just keep them in the first division in Italy. And I think a lot is going to be asked of them. They're going to get a lot of minutes. It's going to be a lot of responsibility. Look, the Gianluca Busio is not over the line just yet, but we're all, you know, we are watching the Fabrizio Romano tweets, and he is when he says, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
And look, maybe by the time you guys are either watching or listening to this, that's changed. But as of right now, it looks like all documents have been signed. There's just an announcement that needs to be made.
Well, I think they're just waiting for the Gold Cup to finish.
Probably. So congratulations to them. It'll be fun to get a chance to watch them in the Serie A. I mean, I'm interested to see how they play. You know, Tanner Tessman, incredible. Gianluca Busio feels, out of the two, like he's probably the most prepared for this opportunity, right? He's got a bit more experience. So I'm excited. Imagine they just start banging out goals. Dude, imagine Venezia versus Juventus. Two Americans going against each other.
And also, like, it just seems that, you know, if you're a guest on this show, you're going to get a big transfer and a big move, and you're getting paid, okay? So it just seems like this is...
Maybe
this
we don't oversell our show too much, but we're the reason these players are succeeding.
This is the football pyramid. It starts with the Cooligans, okay?
Are we more important than training and developing? No. Are we a part of that? Yes. You know?
Correct. A couple other things. I want to talk about some MLS storylines. Let's talk about Inter Miami a little bit real quick, because they're going through, they just lost 5-0 to New England Revolution. It was a rough loss. They're dealing with a lot of stuff. But the fascinating thing was we had Paul Pogba and Presnel Kimpembe, both French national team, Manchester United.
Both soon to PSG. Play for PSG.
I'm going to go support the homie, Blaise Matuidi, and watch this game in Major League Soccer. They're sitting in the VIP section with Chad Ochocinco.
Ochocinco's next to them. In front of him is Cero Cinco.
It is. I'm like, Chad, how did you predict this storyline in your name?
Okay. Yeah. Phil Neville's like, I guess I got to change my name to Cero Cinco now. I don't know how this works. Yeah, it's got to be rough. But the only thing that upsets me is whatever the perception is of MLS, that game did not change it at all. You know what I mean? That only perpetuated what people think of MLS. But also, we got to talk about Inter Miami. Highest payroll, worst record, if I'm not mistaken.
They're last in the East, yeah.
Remember Shawcross was like, hey, I was supposed to retire, but I got a phone call from Beckham. It looks like he's still retired.
Yes, I mean, people do go retire in Florida. It's very common.
Yeah, he just puts on a jersey once a week. It's the only difference.
Why am I sweating so much in retirement? Yeah.
I thought I was going to have my feet up, you know, eating soup. What's going on?
Yeah, just a rough 6 losses in a row for Inter Miami. Phil Neville not looking like maybe was the best choice for coach. And there's the whole cheating scandal with the roster, you know, the money and whatever. It's not looking great right now for Inter Miami, and they need to really turn things around ASAP.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's saying like, yo, Neville only got the job because he's friends with you know, Beckham. Beckham's friends with a lot of people. You're not friends with a better manager? Not one? Come on. Are you friends with Zidane? Send him a text.
Text him back. Stay in touch, you know?
Damn, Bex, how many bridges did you burn, my guy?
All right, Alexis, we got another unboxing to do. Unboxings have returned on the show.
It's my favorite.
This is a lovely one already to start with. Going to get a little bit emotional here. We got a gift from Cibao Football Club.
Which is the club from your hometown.
Yeah, this is where my family is from in Dominican Republic. And I got a letter here. It's in Spanish. I'm going to read it in Spanish, obviously. It says, this is already a strong start. It says, Señor Cristian Polanco, which no one's ever called
Señor,
me.
Señor, that's a strong start.
You don't see someone with this hairstyle called Señor, okay? So it says... Le enviamos estas camisetas como signo de agradecimiento por el apoyo brindado al equipo desde el exterior. Esperamos que sigas viviendo la pasión junto a nosotros. Gracias por ser parte de nuestra familia Cibao FC.
I'll translate it. They're like, yo, thank you, fam. We love you. Look at mine's the goalkeeper kit, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, dude. So, gracias, Cibao. Muchísima gracias.
How about this kit?
I mean, just DR, La Liga Dominicana, getting some love out here on the Cooligans.
Yeah, I got something from my favorite team in Matanzas, where my family's from in Cuba, and it was just SOS, and please help us.
The unboxing is please send stuff to us.
Yeah, it actually says like, yo, could you stop talking about the embargo and help us real quick? Stop arguing, fam. We also got this from the Screaming Eagles. Look how dope this is.
This is super cool.
If you don't catch the reference, this is the diplomat's kit from the NASL days back in D.C.
Right.
Look how incredible this is.
Screaming Eagles, DC United supporters group. Thank you for the incredible kill. Also, a quick note here. It says, Alexis and Christian, the Screaming Eagles supporters of DC United, wanted to share with you guys our 2021 tailgate volunteer jerseys made by Icarus FC, the exciting kit maker from Philadelphia. They are inspired by the 1980s Washington Diplomats NASL jersey. You'll see Johan Cruyff wearing it below. There's a picture of Johan Cruyff right here.
Very nice.
And it says, look fresh while executing all your turns on and off the pitch.
All right, we got to talk to them because they didn't start it with Señor Polanco.
You know? Where's the Señor Polanco and Guerreros?
Yeah. I know. Señores. I also want to show you this. You don't drink coffee, but check this out. Our friend Melissa Ortiz started a coffee company, right?
That's right. Kickoff Coffee.
It's called Kickoff Coffee. And look at this. It says right here, it says, coffee for soccer people, by soccer people. And what the hell does that mean?
It's the FUBU.
It's the for us, by us. For football, by football. I mean, have you ever gone to a coffee shop and said, I'm sorry, do you have any coffee for soccer people? Because if not, I have to leave and go find another one. But look how dope this is.
I identify as a soccer person, okay?
Decaf, caffeinate, it doesn't bother me. As long as it's for soccer people. I mean, this is incredible. But also, look at this. First of all, Forza Italian Roast, they knew what was happening.
I've also heard nothing but incredible reviews. I do not drink coffee, but everybody online is always saying how delicious the coffee is.
I got a nice note here. It says, Soccer Cooligans, honor to share this with you, our coffee tribute to the game we all love. Thanks for giving it a try, and we hope we can catch up again sometime soon. Cheers, Melissa, the coffee person. I'm not sure what it said after that. I gave up.
But look at this. What a business card.
This is clearly for you. I believe it's a size medium. So I'll give this to you, and you can have this dope shirt. I'll keep the coffee because you don't drink coffee. Right. How incredible is that? Force Italian. Look at that. They won the Euros, and now you win the morning.
Exactly. And for a friend of the FUBO family, part of the FUBO family as well.
That's right.
Melissa Ortiz. Okay. And so we have Amin El Hassan coming up next. So stick with us.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I just want to figure out with a word from one of our sponsors, I've seen you being Gully Squad. Oh my God, Gully Squad is the absolute incredible. By the way, if you're not a member of Gully Squad, what are you waiting for? Just go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad and join. First of all, you get absolutely amazing access to us, Christian and I. We're always in there. This is the place we focus on. We text back the most. If you want to share a picture of your pizza and say, yo, Alexis, roast them. Nah, fam, join Gully Squad. That's where that happens, in the Rate My Pizza room in our Slack. It's absolutely incredible. We've got stuff from comedy, coffee, beer, wine, liquor, food stuff, general stuff. They're coming up with the Gulliest Kit, Inferior Sports, which is where we talk about everything else. We got an MLS Pick'em going on in there, music, pets. It's such incredible stuff. And by the way, anytime we have a guest, what happens is we post that in Gully Squad. They find out about it first, and it's cool that they don't leak that information. They're awesome people. And we ask them if they have any questions for whether it's famous coaches or players or a journalist, whoever it is that we have as a guest on our show. And those are the only questions that we ask. So if you would love to ask some of these famous people some questions, anyone from Zach Steffen to Landon Donovan to Michelle Akers, you know, legend in the women's game, anyone like that, if you've always wanted to ask them a question, the only way you're going to get a chance to do that is if you are in Gully Squad. So again, go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, or you could just go to shoutstous.com. Join now. Hi, Christian, our guest is here, and we are happy to have him back.
Very much so. This is and perfect timing too, because a lot is going on not only in the NBA world but in the PSG world. Okay, when it comes to
resume right now is wow relevant
for three letter acronyms specifically. He is on point.
You know, we got to talk to this man because he seems to be the person that knows everything that's happening with everything that's happening right now. So we're excited to have him back. Plus, if I'm going to be honest, the fans wanted it. The fans enjoyed the last episode. And you know what we do. We give the fans everything they want. And this is one of the things they want. And ladies and gentlemen.
Even the feet pics.
Even the disgusting fans get what they want. You know what I mean? Even the freaks. The freaks got to get a little something.
I feel like even the ones that wanted feet pics, they got them. And they're like, you know what? On second thought,
Wasn't for me. Well, the voice you heard, ladies and gentlemen. Amin El Hassan, everybody!
Amin, what is good, man?
I've said this on stage. I mean, this is a lot of people have started like OnlyFans during the pandemic. And someone told me that I could make a lot of money showing pictures of my feet. I said, nah, fam. The only way I make money on OnlyFans if I send people pictures of my feet until they join my OnlyFans. It's got to be a declaration of war. You know, you feel me?
More of a threat, you know?
They've got an OnlyFeet now. I think it's just like literally all it is. It's an OnlyFans. Like there were people who were joined on OnlyFans but were so frustrated with all like the boobs and the ass. Like I just want to see feet. And so they made
not
OnlyFeet.
Niche enough.
Yeah, like, oh,
I'm
filter
not
out
see
all
this
the noise.
Body. Oh, yeah.
All of these penises and
you know
vaginas. No,
here.
I want feet. I want feet only.
It's every day, just boob after boob after boob. I just want to see toes. That's all I came here for.
All right, enough feet talk because...
That's why we brought you on. I mean, look at these photos we found on the internet.
We'll get to the football a little bit later.
Did you say feet ball? Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But let's talk about these NBA finals. We have to. I mean, look, the Milwaukee Bucks did it, as we all expected, okay? You know, us Knicks fans, you know how it was. But no, there's been an interesting thing, because I saw a bunch of clips, I saw you on Levitard. You were saying that the Bucks, after they lost those first two to the Suns, that they would not win another game. Mm-hmm. And they went on and did exactly that four times.
Four in a row. Opposite. They did the opposite. They exactly did not lose another game. Uh-huh. Which,
right.
If you look at it, I'm off by a couple of letters, right? Like, everything in that statement was true. It's just you change a W-I-N to an L-O-S-E and accurate. Yeah.
Not
90%
accuracy.
Now that I think about it, you were pretty much dead on. You just missed the bullseye by a smidge.
Yeah, you know, semantics. It's semantics.
I mean, automatic.
So what happened? I mean, we saw the games, but I know.
And to refresh people's memory, Amin used to work for the Suns. So
yes,
there's
I did. Yeah.
there's some connection here. What do you know? Well, how is this fault?
I'll be honest. I'm telling you right now, there's a bunch of people down there who are probably cussing me out because they've complained for years that I'm overly negative in my coverage of the Suns. The Suns don't like me, like as an organization. The people I know there obviously like me. These are my friends. But as an organization, they see me as an irritant and someone who doesn't give them a fair shake, right? And so, and by the way, I don't think that's a fair assessment because they've been awful for 10 years. Yeah. I'd never get this idea of people who are awful at winning for whatever the reason and are catching feelings. They're like, oh, how dare he say we were awful? Well, you were awful. What am I supposed to say? You're really good, but next time you'll get them? 10 years they missed the playoffs. Yeah. That was the second longest streak in the NBA. Well, no. Yeah. You guys get it. So, they played great this year. They played great in the regular season, but they played great in the playoffs. And I think if you looked at all the playoff teams, they played the most consistently great. Everyone else was kind of up and down. The Suns really didn't have any bad games. They had one in the first round, and they had one in the conference finals. And other than that, they played remarkably consistently on the road, at home. It didn't matter. And so they play the first two games, and they outplay the Bucks thoroughly. Meanwhile, what we know about Milwaukee is, A, their best player is coming off of a crazy injury. I mean, the man's knee looked like an elbow. It was pointing the wrong way. It's like a flamingo, right? And he's 9 days removed from that or 7 days removed from that. He's playing in these finals. You see the first two games, he's moving kind of slow. He played really well in game two, but still not looking like himself. And then the other thing is everybody else look like they never played basketball before, at least not with one another. So I'm like, okay, here's this team, the Bucks, who have been bad on the road all playoffs long. Here's this team, the Suns, that have been great on the road during the regular season and in the playoffs. And I'm like, okay, why would I believe that Milwaukee is going to make all these changes and get better and play smarter? They haven't done that all playoffs long, not even in the series that they won. Well, of course, there's a couple of things that happen, right? Number one is
something to the contrary, and the universe responded.
Absolutely. It is my fault. I take full responsibility for the Suns losing.
We wanted to hear some accountability. Right. That's all.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, here's the funny thing. I have offered myself as human sacrifice now. I don't know if you guys saw the video I posted today.
I was going to bring Milwaukee. This up. Yes.
I will sit in one of those carnival like dunk tank things. I want to see if we can get one where people actually have to shoot, because I want to taunt people for not being able to make a jump shot, right?
Yes.
Right. And if there's one with a basket where you got to hit the basket, and I will sit in that all day long.
Yeah,
I deserve it, man.
You can sit on the dunk tank while you count while they take a free throw.
Yeah, and if it's Giannis,
the guy shot
you
17
might...
for 19. Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
there's some element of this that we have to say, yo, this is pretty out of the ordinary.
Yeah, yeah. No, apparently at home when no one's counting, he's good. You know,
apparently well, did you hear this? I saw this on Twitter today. I don't know how true this is. I saw a tweet, and I wish I could credit the person. I do not remember who it was, but they said that apparently when he was training for free throws, what he would do is when he would miss, he would have his girlfriend carrying his baby run laps if he missed a free throw. Do you know any accuracy to that? I have no idea if this is real, but apparently when he saw somebody else suffer, that is what kind of mentally got him to be more successful at free throws.
What?
His girlfriend with a like a 1 or 2 year old baby and is also pregnant, very pregnant right now. Yeah, I'm gonna say no. That didn't happen. If it did, get CPS in here, man. Great basketball player.
My wife would not sign up for
dad.
That. My wife would be like, hold on, no. So you said a joke that didn't hit and I gotta do a laugh? You be a better comic. I ain't going running.
She wouldn't do it even childless and like with running clothes on and like ready to go like on her morning jog. She wouldn't do that for you, man.
No, not at all. She wouldn't do that mid-exercise. She's like, you know what? I quit exercising. I'm not doing this for you. That's incredible.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, man, you got to give it to him.
Yeah,
what he did.
When you look at the four games that they won, what was the thing that changed for you? That one thing that was noticeable that the Suns just couldn't come back from?
Was it Portis thinking everybody slapped his mom, so he played out of his mind?
Once a Nick, always a Nick. Yeah. It was absolutely, by game three, Giannis looked like what injury?
Yeah.
And that was big because I thought, A, he wouldn't play the whole finals. I thought he'd come back for some of the finals, but I didn't think he'd play the whole thing. Then when he played the whole thing, I said, okay, he'll play, but he won't look quite like himself. The idea that at some point in this series, Giannis is going to look like he did like at the beginning of the playoffs, moving and laterally and spin moves and the exaggerated Euro steps. Impossible. I saw that man's knee. I saw what it did. I know it didn't have a tear to it, but I know like how painful and how lingering that injury is and how it's something that you need to be kind of off your feet for it to recover. And for him to jump right back in, I've never seen anything like that. I can honestly say I've never seen anything like that in any sport. Someone go through an injury like that where we're like, we might not even see him until 2022. On the day that it happens, when we said that, and 9 days later, he's playing in the NBA Finals, and a week or 2 weeks after that, he's hoisting the Finals MVP, not because he was the best player in these finals. He put together one of the greatest performances in the history of NBA Finals. That is insane.
Was that like a Willis Reed moment? Remember, I don't know if you remember, like he came out in the Knicks in the finals and it inspired the Knicks to win the finals, which... It was in black and white TV to let you know the last time the Knicks won a finals, by the way. But do you think that's his moment for him? Do you think that there's a legend now? Do you think like he overtakes LeBron as the best player in the league after putting up 50
before
points?
You answer, it was like Technicolor. It wasn't black and white. It wasn't too bad.
They started tinting it. You're right. They started tinting it. Depending on whose house you were at. Like some houses not so much.
If you got a wealthy friend, then you could have seen it in color.
But I want to point this out because I'm sick and tired. I grew up in New York. I'm a Knicks fan. I grew up believing that myth. My whole life, like Willis Reed willed them to. Willis Reed in that game 7, he hit the first two shots. Those are the only two shots he hit. He went 2 for 5.
He played 27,
27 minutes. It wasn't even like he played just those opening quarter, like, guys, I can't go. You take it from here. The guy played 27 minutes out there, missed every other shot after that, grabbed 3 rebounds. One would think you're a big center, at least like a couple would just come to your hands by you standing there. Nope, only 3 rebounds. Meanwhile, poor Walt Clyde Frazier. This man, listen to the stat line. 36 points, 19 assists, 7 rebounds, 12 of 17 from the field, 12 of 12 from the free throw line. And for 50 years, pretty much, all he gets to hear about is how Willis Reed helped them. Like, what about me, you bastards?
I was doing all my
contributions.
Yeah. You know the problem was
rhyming here.
Only the dude on MSG that dude play basketball.
You know what I'm saying?
The guy wearing a cow suit right this moment.
Yeah, here. Hold on. He was coming fresh to death, coming to the arena, dressed like in a way that nobody else was doing, and he's out here rapping for you. Talk about swishing and vision. You and you doing.
So wait, he's telling me the dude with the restaurant on 10th Avenue play basketball? So, yeah.
I've lived my whole life wanting to go to that steakhouse, by the way. I still haven't been.
Bro, the three of us got to go. Fubo will film it. Come on, it'll be great.
Yeah,
let me ask you, content. You're also a PSG fan, and they have had one hell of a summer. ESPN listed the best transfer windows, and they're listed at the top. And I just want to list out. First of all, you've sold nobody, so you've got an incredible team. Here's what you've brought in. You brought in Donnarumma on a free. Mm-hmm. You've got Hakimi for $66 mm-hmm. million. You got Danilo Pereira from Porto for $17 million. Yep. You've got Jorginho Wijnaldum. Dipped, bounce on Barca, and you got Sergio Ramos, who, yeah, he's 35, but he's Sergio Ramos.
Sergio Ramos, as like not one of your best players, is an awesome feeling. And by the way, we're not done yet.
Ooh.
I know you heard. Okay. I know you heard what else is on tap, right?
No.
The only one. A little. Wait, maybe you tell me. Yeah, because I heard. I think I maybe heard Dybala. Was that right? I don't know if that's right.
I want a little Pogba action. Why not?
Oh, I did hear this actually. But that's just me and Raiola.
No, but this is the thing. You know, we talked about this last time I was on the concept of a super league, right? Where these teams the ones with all the money ought to just bash heads against each other all the time and keep all the money. Why care about all these other little teams? But I'm telling you, man, there's something about being a super team and then having the other super teams be jealous of you. Like that, it's like you're a super duper team at that point, right? Right.
Yeah.
You got to be.
When
like,
you're the super team out of the super teams?
Yeah.
That's pretty
like
good.
It's almost like we got to form our own super league within the super league, right? If there were a super league, we'd form our own super league too above that, where we just play, we'd scrimmage against ourselves and put that online and sell TV rights to that.
Why is there a booth with bottle service in the Super League? Why is only PSG in there? Talk to me a little bit. First of all, Pogba, I think, would flourish at PSG. I think that's a move that needs to happen. And I do want to ask, how come there's no like Mino Raiola evil super agents in American sports? How come they're not nearly as publicized? I know there are, but they're not names like they are in soccer.
Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus was a guy in NFL football. He's a guy that's known to be kind of like a real son of a bitch, you know, but like a lot of his power was because he had the connection with the University of Miami. He went to Miami and he had the in on all those guys. So for years, that was a pipeline. But as Miami has become a weaker program, he's become less relevant. I'm trying to remember the name of Scott Boras. In baseball.
He's
one that everybody hates him, right? Because he's just here for the top dollar, nothing more, nothing less. Basketball really doesn't have the evil agent. We have the evil agency. Some people look at CAA as like overly manipulative and trying to like control things. You know, obviously you guys are Knicks fans. You know this, like your entire organization is top to bottom CAA people, right? But there's no one guy, I think, that stands out like that, like in that way of being like this evil guy that all fans of all teams hate him because somehow, somewhere, he's broken your heart.
Yeah, he's pretty insane.
It's interesting. Is it maybe because if I feel like NBA players, maybe if it's the collective bargaining, maybe it's the union, they seem to have a little bit more autonomy, especially in the last like 15 years, and have more control of their own careers and their own, even with moves, right? And big stars forming their own, you know, super teams. You know, it's interesting too. Like Giannis made that remark after winning, saying, "I won it and didn't have to go to a super team. I won it the right way."
Say what Durant's name, dude. Say Durant's name.
What do you think the feedback is to that? Because some people have been feeling like this is the new NBA. Go start a strong team and win, because nothing is more important than getting that ring.
Yeah, I would say the new NBA is this. You draft a great player, you have about 7 or 8 years to show him that we have our shit together. We know what we're doing. We know we're building towards a championship, but most importantly, we are aggressively building towards it, right? We're not like, wait, how much does that cost? I don't know. Like you're going for it, right? And for many of the players that switch teams, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, you know, James Harden, their teams showed ineptitude. And at some point you have to say to yourself, how long, what's my responsibility to wait until you figure it out one day? Giannis can say what he said and we can all do a victory lap with him and say, see, that's how you're supposed to do it. Da, da, da. But if Giannis were Damian Lillard's situation, where we got one conference finals appearance and a bunch of knockouts and a bunch of like 6 seed appearances and not winning a bunch of games like Giannis did the last 3 years and being a 1, 2, or 3 seed the last 3 years. I'm wondering if Giannis feels the same way, right? When you can feel it's close, it's easier to kind of be patient in a way that Giannis was than someone like Dame, who I believe is like 31. And, you know, it's not looking any better. It's like, what do we have to look forward to next year if you're Portland? And so I think I love it, because to me, I've always said the NBA needs a better way to hold organizations that are poorly run accountable. I guess they do. It's the idea that, like, if you're bad, you get a higher pick. To me, sometimes it doesn't sit right, because some of these teams tank, sure, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them actually think they're going to be good, and then the season happens like, ooh, we're terrible. You know what? On second thought, let's play our young guys and start this thing over. Oh, yeah, we meant to tank. We knew it was a plan. And, like, the reality is, no, it wasn't a plan. You thought you were going to be nice, and you ended up being trash. Houston this year, they traded Harden, demanded an all-star in return. They thought they were going to be nice. They thought. Like, they traded Westbrook for John Wall. They thought they were going to be nice, and it turned out to be trash. Detroit, they went out and signed Jeremy Grant for all this money and Mason Plumlee and all these guys. They thought they were going to be nice, and now they got the number one pick because, oh, you look like geniuses, but the reality is that wasn't your plan. Sacramento thought they were going to make the playoffs. Like, these bad teams need to be punished, not rewarded, for being run poorly. And I think the one part of the NBA that does that is when – star players 7 years into their deals or 8 years are like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm gone.
It's really the only way to hold teams accountable without like a relegation. But thank God there is no relegation. Because again, the next last year would have been playing against high schools. If there was relegation, that's how far down we would have been. You know what I mean? What do you think of coming up next? Do you think teams like New York can make those advances without giving away the entire, everybody but Randall, for someone like a Damian Lillard? Do you think they can continue to build through the draft? Do you think the NBA shifted in that direction?
So the Knicks are actually on the right path. They're finally figuring out, like, hey, you want big names to come play for you? It's not enough to say, I'm New York, here's money, right? That's not enough. We've shown that. What you have to do is say, we have an idea. We got a clue of what we're doing. One of the reasons why Durant and Kyrie went to Brooklyn, because Brooklyn, for the years before that, had started being good, despite, by the way, not having any picks, right? they were really down bad, and they found a way to become respectable. Same thing with the Lakers, like getting LeBron. He didn't join the worst team in the league. He joined a team that was starting to move towards respectability. I think the Knicks have taken the massive first step of they're respectable now. Good coach, not a whole lot of craziness in the front office, team that plays hard, defends, and won games and went to the playoffs. And, you know, they didn't do well in the playoffs, but that's enough, right, to show we got this thing headed in the right direction. You got a ton of money right now. The problem is, if you're trying to get Damian Lillard, Damian Lillard says, what's the difference between these two situations? What I'm leaving in Portland, if what I go to New York. That doesn't really solve my thing. I don't want to come help you guys with a rebuild after I just left this rebuilding situation. So I think what the Knicks have going for them is the cap space to go after free agents. And then if those free agents don't want to come, the cap space to trade for guys that are under contract that may not be happy in their situation. May not be Damian Lillard, but it's some steps that you can take. And so I, for one, if Chris Paul is available and willing and interested, if I'm the Knicks, I go hard, even though he is of an advanced age. Kyle Lowry's another good name.
I was going to say, Mike, you can't Conley, send a private jet name, for Chris Paul. You got to send an ambulance. Just in case, you know what I mean?
But at the same time, you got to look at like what he did. You take Phoenix's season right now in a heartbeat.
Of course.
If I told you Chris Paul going to come, take you guys to the finals, but he going to get hurt and play terrible in the last four games, and you guys are going to lose. You wouldn't be like, no, I'll take my chances with Alfred Payton. You'll say, all right, give it to me, and maybe something different happens.
The problem is we don't have a Booker. We don't have anyone that can sink that shot when we need it. So we need a shooter. And, you know, I know we're a soccer show, so I'm just going to say right now the Knicks have all that space, just like PSG has all that money. Boom, brought it back to soccer. Hey,
okay, yeah.
Hey,
I wish the Knicks could have PSG's summer transfer window.
Does Pogba want to play for the Knicks? Just put it out there. Mino Raiola, get in here.
Amin, thank Leverage. You so much, man. It's always good to get some more insight, some NBA insight on, where obviously this is a soccer show, but we are big NBA fans as well. And the NBA Finals was, I don't know what the ratings were for the finals. I heard people were saying because it wasn't
bad.
The bigger teams that weren't great. But you know what I mean? Look, it was at least entertaining. The storyline was the youthful exuberance of Giannis and the sadness of the veteran in Chris Paul. And you got one of those storylines. And, we ended
TikTok
up with Giannis
beat Facebook.
Oh, no. At least you didn't call MySpace.
Amin, thank you so much, man. Everybody, make sure you follow Amin on all socials, Darth Amin. And is there anything else you want to plug before we let you go, Amin?
At Darth Amin on Instagram and on Twitter. And also, Cinephobe is the podcast. It's me. It's Zach Harper. We watch movies. They're poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. Try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake like the Knicks. Cinephobe produced by Anthony Mays. Wherever you get podcasts, Alexis, your open invite is still out there, man, to come join us and review one of these terrible movies. We're in John Travolta
month
right now.
Dude, I got to. Especially since you said that I'm Gonna Get You Suckers, one of the most underrated films of all time, is one of my favorite films of all time. So we definitely got to talk.
Movie, man.
Yo, it's one of the greatest.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all socials, at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes and more clips of the show. So let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Amin Hassan, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!